The scripture reading tonight will be from Matthew, chapter 13, starting in verse 18 through verse 23. Matthew 13, starting in verse 18. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is a seed sown along the path. The one who receives the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no roots, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who receives the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but worries of life, of this life, and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who receives the seed that fell on the good soil is the one whose heart, who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown.
Amen. This evening, the lesson is called Good Soil. Good soil. The Garden of Eden had good soil. Genesis 1, 11 through 12, then God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed and fruit trees on the earth, bearing fruit after their kind with seed in them, and it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in them after their kind, and God saw that it was good. If it was good, it was good. The soil was good, the trees were good, the seeds were good, and they reproduced. It was good. Good soil. But now, things are different. Genesis 3, 17 through 19, Then to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you, and you will eat the plants of the field by the sweat of your face. You will eat bread till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. The soil was good, but not so much so now. However, soil can be improved. 2 Timothy 2:6, the hard-working farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. I had a relative back in the 80s that moved to South Carolina, Pageland, South Carolina, not too far from Wilmington, North Carolina. And when he got there, he had liked to garden, and he really had dreamed of gardening because he was from northern Illinois, a cold area, and he had not had much opportunity, and he studied the idea of gardening, and he looked at what he had there, and this was, and I don't know if I'll say this right, Mitch can correct me, Piedmont Plateau. So around the Carolinas, you've got a coastal plain, where you have the sea and the sand and the beaches, and then it jumps up a little bit in elevation and called the Piedmont Plateau. And that's where you have these pine trees that look taller than any utility pole you've ever seen, and then you know where they get the tall utility poles. But in that area, you would laugh when you see those pine trees growing out of sand, you know, because it's all very, very sandy. Well, that's where he ended up. And he wanted to grow a garden. He said, what can I do with this sand? And so he began to realize, wow, not only can I grow a garden, but there are two growing seasons here. I can have a garden that lasts until August, and then I can start another one in September. And he was incredibly amazed, but he didn't have any soil. And so he started saving eggshells and coffee grounds and anything you can imagine to make mulch. And he had built up an incredible garden from just mulching his soil. He had improved his soil, made it ready to receive the seeds that he would put into it. And twice a year, he got a good garden from his soil. I have a daughter, if we could say that, because she calls me her father in China, and her name is Wong Ray. We call her Ray Ray. John would know Ray Ray. She was his babysitter for a long time. And Ray Ray had a grandfather who loved to grow a garden. He would go out around where the outhouse was, and he would open up a door in the back of the outhouse, and he would scoop that out and take it over to a pile and mulch that for his garden. And he would always tell Ray Ray, something so good should be kept at home. You know, something so good should be kept at home. And he could grow an incredible garden with that. And one of the things that they like to use that kind of fertilizer for would be the pumpkins. And they had a very interesting pumpkin that was kind of like a watermelon. It was long and thin, and it was kind of a green, kind of a dull green color with yellow stripes. But when you cut into it, it was just as orange as any of our pumpkins could be. And you could cook it with just water. And it had a nice kind of a sweet, salty flavor. You didn't have to do anything to it. But they always came with a warning. Wash them very well because of what they were grown in. Wash them very well. So soil can be improved. Someone was telling me about their septic tank that was getting full out here on the desert, and I said, now wait a minute, that's probably the best soil in this entire area, you know. Don't be too upset about your septic tank being full. Jesus chose the differing conditions of the soils, or the roadside, the rocks, the thorns, the good soil. Jesus chose the differing conditions as an analogy. Beside the road, a rocky place, among the thorns, and good soil. In Matthew 13:23, and the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Can we, like the farmer or the gardener, successfully improve growing conditions? And when I say growing conditions, I really shouldn't just mean the soil, should I? You have to have many things to be a good gardener or a good farmer. The soil is just one of those elements. Matthew 13:3-4. Now, this was read earlier, but I would like to read these two things together, because the first one is the parable, and the second one is Jesus' explanation of the parable, you see? So let's read it. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, the sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. And he says, hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom seed was sown beside the road. See how this is working together? You've got Matthew 13:3-4, and then the explanation in Matthew 13:18-19. So Jesus explains what he meant by the parable. He told the parable to the masses. He gave the explanation to his close disciples. So again, in Matthew 13:5-6, compared to Matthew 13:20-21, others fell on the rocky places where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And the explanation? The one on whom seed was sown on the rocky places. This is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. So that's the rocky place, troubles, drive the person away. Distract them, get their attention, remove them. Matthew 13:7 compared to Matthew 13:22, others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So I might ask you if you would think back to a time when you were not such a faithful Christian. Think back to a time when maybe even you had not yet become a Christian. And think back to whether or not you, as the soil, changed. Whether or not you became more receptive. Whether or not you became more potentially productive before the seed was actually sprouted and growing and successfully working in you. The one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. I remember a time when, between the ages of 15 and 22, I was very seriously seeking to understand God. And yet, I wasn't as serious about it, as committed to it, as I should be. And so there were occasions when I ran into people that I believed were mature enough to explain it to me. And one person was kind of preaching in a strange place where you wouldn't expect him to be preaching. And he was talking to people about Jesus. And I was listening, and I came over and asked him to teach me about Jesus. And he looked at me for a little while and didn't say anything. And he said, "You're not ready." And I thought, He thought, "I'm not ready." I was probably 17, 18 years old at that time. He was right, and I don't know how he knew it. But I wasn't ready. My soil was not prepared. It wasn't time for me to really make that commitment. Matthew 13:8-9 compared to Matthew 13:23, and others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. The explanation, and the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So how do you feel about yourself? Did you always want to be this one that would bring forth 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold? Did you always want to be? Have you ever counted? How many people have I brought to Christ? Have you ever compared yourself to the Scripture and said, "How am I doing? Was I good soil? Am I good soil?" I think about it sometimes. I think, well, am I there yet? You know, have the people that I have baptized stayed faithful? Just those questions that come into your minds. Am I doing what I ought to be doing? In my own experience, I have passed through each stage, pressing on from one to the next, and it has taken years. And now maybe sometimes I think of myself as good soil, but as I examine myself daily, I had to throw that in there, because that was a previous lesson. I don't know if you were here for that one. But as I examined myself daily, I understood that there is more to do and more to let God and Jesus and their Spirit do within me. If my observation is true, just as literal soils can be improved, human circumstances affecting receptiveness and productivity can be improved as well. If so, we should do so. If we know someone that we're trying to share the gospel with, or maybe we're trying to mentor, maybe a new Christian, maybe an older Christian who isn't where they ought to be, or maybe someone who isn't what they were 5 years ago in service to the Lord, maybe we can observe them and help them and encourage them to change their circumstances so that they can be more fruitful and useful in the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 3:5-7, "What then is Apollos, and what is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one." Paul and Apollos were working with those at Corinth. There were others who were working with them. They were preaching the gospel. And some of them began to choose which one they liked the best. And, oh, I'm going to follow this guy, and I'm going to follow this guy. And one would even say, I'm going to follow Jesus, which they all should have been doing. But what is Apollos? What is Paul? They're servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. I planted, Paul says. Apollos watered. But God was causing the growth. God was causing the growth. My relative in Pageland, South Carolina, prepared the soil. He put the seed in it. He watered it. He did it at the appropriate time of the year for the location. And God gave the increase. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. Environment that affects the soil. And I say this because I want us to be that. I want us to be an environment where people can receive the seed and grow and prosper and you know, reproduce 100-fold. The environment that affects the soil, the world that we live in, is an environment that affects us as soil. What we hear, what we're exposed to, what we're constantly afflicted with, of other people's strange opinions and weird ways that are far away from God, the world we live in affects the soil that we are. The context that we know each other in. Perhaps you have a coworker or someone from school or maybe somebody that knew you when you were really naughty. And now you know them in a different way and you're trying to share the gospel with them and they say, well, I remember you. You were really naughty. And they don't want to hear it from you, but maybe you can work on showing them, well, God has made a change in me. So the context we know each other in affects how the soil around us will receive the Word of God and their own individual past and present circumstances. Maybe they're burdened with things that have them so distracted, like the cares and worries and riches of the world, that they can't really get their mind off of those things long enough to focus on what God wants them to do and to be. But we can work on helping them to look past their present circumstances and even the things in the past that may have thrown them off of the right path. Environment we want the soil to experience. We want them to see Christ in us. We need for them to see a need for Christ in themselves. And they need to see us, their church family, as an improvement over whatever it is they run with now. Whatever their circle of friends or family is that is different than the body of Christ, they need to see the body of Christ as an improvement over that. That's why we need to be good to each other and good to them too. And then we need to plant and water while or as the soil gives us opportunity. That's kind of what Jesus was saying in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, when he told the apostles, go into all the world, because in the Greek, as we know, it says, as you are going into all the world, make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all that I have commanded as you are going. So we plant and we water while and as the soil gives opportunity. The early church addressed the needs of all. They didn't want the apostles to be hindered with things that would keep them from ministering to God, serving and teaching. And so it says, now at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews, because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. So the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, it is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. We read the words, the 12. We understand that means those 12 men who held the office of apostle. We understand that Hellenistic Jews are Jewish people who have grown up in a Greek culture. And in their thinking and in their behavior and in their dressing, they have habits of the Greeks. And the Hebrews that were growing up in more of a Judaistic Hebrew system didn't necessarily, they weren't quite as tight with them. And so they were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. maybe not on purpose, but it was happening, and it shouldn't be happening. And so the early church addressed the needs of those Grecian Jewish widows, as well as the needs of the apostles. And they took care of these issues so that they could get on with the work that the apostles were assigned to do. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Things like our men's meetings and such, these should be things that are done for the purpose of getting us all able to devote ourselves to prayer, the ministry of the world, of the word. The light bulbs being changed, the carpet being cleaned, whatever it may be that involves the physical structure that affects the spiritual environment in which we are trying to plant and grow and prosper the seed, which is the Word of God. The environment for sowing and growing improved. In Acts chapter 6, 5 through 7, the statement found approval with the whole congregation, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. And these they brought before the apostles, and after praying, they laid their hands on them. The word of God kept on spreading, and the number of the disciples continued to increase greatly. That's that fruitfulness, that's that reproduction of the seed, which is the word of God, greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith. I'm sure it was not so easy for the priests to make that change. It cost them quite a deal, quite a bit, quite a lot, in all aspects of their lives to make that change. But they could see the power in the Word of God, the power in the truth, and the difference between that and what they were doing. They could see that the church, the body of Christ, was better than what they were living in at the time. Antioch had a ministering, fasting, praying church. We had our guest speaker that came, and Dan was excited, waiting for the day when he would speak of prayer, because he was talking about the importance of prayer. And prayer is so important. And prayer can be involved with fasting and with ministering. Antioch had a ministering, fasting, praying church. People went out from it, sowing the seed, which is the word of the kingdom of God. Acts 13, 1 through 3, now there were at Antioch in the church that was there prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Now perhaps to the Christians at Antioch, there may have been 10 or 12 men who would look like men who they'd ought to lay their hands on and send out. But the Holy Spirit, after the praying and the fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Choose these two." And they laid their hands on them, and they sent them out with prayer and fasting to go do the work, to go do the sowing, to spread the seed. Prayer and conduct prepares the soil for sowing. We need to keep it real. We need to keep our lives focused on Jesus, and we need to go on our way sowing the seed, which is the Word of God, that we can make more children of the kingdom through God's power, through His Word, through His method. Colossians 4, 2 through 6, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it, with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. Each person is the outsider. The outsiders are the soil. They're the ones who need to receive the Word of God. And so the way we conduct ourselves and the way we pray and what we do and what we say and how we say it matters in the sight of the outsiders, the soil that needs the seed, which is the Word of God. What things should they pray for? 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 through 5. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified. Paul's saying, pray for me and my fellow workers that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it did also with you, and that we will be rescued from perverse and evil men, for not all have faith. Do they need evidence of the power of the word of God? They can look at themselves. They had been preached to. They had been taught. They had responded. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord concerning you, that you are doing and will continue to do what we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the steadfastness of Christ. If we love God, we will love the thing created in his image, and we will want to share the truth and the wonder and the glory and the power and the promises with those who have not heard. Paul teaching Timothy to teach Christians to pray. 1 Timothy 2:1-6. First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. Whether those people are in South Korea, North Korea, Japan, China, Russia, United States of America, Mexico, Canada, wherever they may be, we are to be praying for those people. I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. And as citizens of this United States of America, we have opportunity to go and cast our vote. And if we fail to do that, then we should never complain. If evil swallows us up, we should not complain. We have the right, the privilege, and the opportunity to go cast a vote, hopefully on the side that best represents what God would want this nation to do and to be. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony given at the proper time. Paul teaching Timothy to teach Christian men to pray. 1 Timothy 2:7-10, for this I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, as a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Therefore I want the men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and dissension. Likewise, or in the same manner, or in the same attitude, or in the same spirit, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly garments, but rather by means of good works, as is proper for women making a claim to godliness. Braided hair can be very beautiful, but the first thing we ought to notice about a woman is her spirituality. Paul instructing Timothy to teach faithful men, to teach other faithful men also. Then those men will teach others also, and those men will teach others also, and those men will teach others. 2 Timothy 2:1-2, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And you get this idea again of the reproductivity of the seed. The seed is sown, it goes into the good soil, the good soil reproduces, and those who have been produced and reproduced by that seed need to be working to produce others of the same nature. Environment that affects the soil, the world we live in, the context we know each other in, their individual past and present circumstances. Environment we want the soil to experience. Environment we want the soil to experience. When we've added the eggshells and the coffee grounds and the apple peels and we've made the best of our opportunity to get the soil ready, and we want them to see Christ in us, and we want them to see a need for Christ in themselves, and we want to see us and the church family as an improvement over what they are presently involved in, and we want to plant, we want to water while the soil gives us opportunity. Is good soil born or is it made? In the Garden of Eden, it was made by the hand of God, and it was good. Everything that God made was good. But not long afterward, because of man, it wasn't so good. Is good soil born or is it made? We may help others be receptive and productive. We should plant. We should water. And we should pray. Be receptive and be productive. Is God's way better than the world's way? Do you know Jesus well enough to trust Him? Would you like to join us in following Jesus? Would you like forgiveness of your past sins? Would you like to begin again? Be born again? Would you like to live forgiven every day? Would you like to have hope of eternal heaven? Would you like to be part of God's family here? Would you like to plant? Would you like to water? Would you like to pray? We offer you the opportunity to be baptized into Christ. We offer you the opportunity to learn and grow and study, to make yourself more ready to receive the seed, which is the Word of God. We offer you the opportunity to have or do anything that we can help you with, anything that God has for you. So let us know as we stand and as we sing.